Welcome to the weekly podcast of Upper Room Christian Fellowship in Lincoln, Nebraska. Thank you for listening.
The title of this message is The Other Side of Prayer. There's a little boy and he's driving with his parents. He asked them a question. Where do our prayers go? Dad said, well, they go to heaven. He said, well, what happens when they're not received? Father, not being much of a theologian, said, I don't know. Well, it began to rain. And that 8-year-old boy, being more of a theologian than his father, said, I know where they go. They go to God. And then he cries over them. Makes you think. We're in Revelation chapter 8. If you turn there with me, we're just going to look at a few verses. You know how long that can take. Revelation chapter 8, starting at verse 1. When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. If you remember right, last week we talked about this silence. Peter says, God is not slack concerning his promises, but long-suffering towards all of us, not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. And we learned last week that the seventh seal was going to bring forth seven trumpets of judgment. And then from that would bring the seventh trumpet would bring seven bowls of judgment, and the judgments get fiercer and fiercer. So before that begins, there's a silence in heaven. For we learn God's heart again is that it's not His joy to punish. It's not His joy to judge. But it is His right. But what moves them to judgment? It's the question that I guess we'll have to ask ourselves at this moment. In verse 2 it says, and I saw seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Who are these seven angels? Notice they're in the presence of God. Seven, we understand, is the number of completeness, perfection, fullness. Seven. But who are these seven angels? And notice they're in the presence of God. Are they archangels? Could be. Now, Gabriel, you remember him, we'll talk about him a little later too, is he said, I stand in the presence of God. So, quite more likely, Gabriel was one of them. But we don't know. And again, we know Michael was an archangel because Jude says that. Kind of an interesting verse if you want to look at it sometime. It says, Jude 1:9, it says, yet Michael, an archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against a rivaling accusation, but said, Lord, the Lord rebuke you. Now, there's a scripture in Ezekiel that basically says that Lucifer, the fallen one, was a cherub. Now, we know the cherub and the seraphim, they're the ones around the throne. So, again, there's a hierarchy of the angelical beings, but we're not too sure what's the order. Remember again, Michael was called a prince. So he was definitely a ruling angel. He was wrestling with Lucifer. Some believe Lucifer was also an archangel. We don't know how this all works out. We'll find out. But the point is there's a hierarchy in the angelical beings and with even the demons. Okay? So, who are these seven angels? We're not too sure. But the thing is take note of the trumpets. Trumpets are very important to the Jewish nation because, again, what it would do is call the elders together. It would call the congregation together. It would declare war. It would announce special occasions. So they were very important to the Jews. And we're finding out they're important to us, too. Now look at verse 3. Then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. Now, it's kind of like an intercessor here, but some people have said this is Jesus. Well, I don't think so, and I'll tell you the reason why. First of all, who's opening the seals? Jesus. Notice also it says, then another angel. That word another means the same kind as the previous ones mentioned. So maybe he's the eighth archangel. I don't know. But again, it says another of the same kind. So I don't think it was Jesus. And remember, Jesus is also the one opening up the seals. But notice what we're talking about here. It's prayer. Prayer. The prayer in heaven now comes as incense before God. Now, you know incense, there's a distinct smell to it. I mean, we kind of, if you want to, many homes have incense, whether it's potpourri or it's a candle. Our house is usually candles, but there's usually a beautiful scent going on. If you notice, we have tried to scent this place too. We have them plugged in the wall. We like scents. I had some cologne on the other day, and someone was saying, who smells good? And then they realized I sprayed some on because I'm going to be downwind from you. Because they like the smell of it. We like smells. If you notice, if you begin to eat something, no, I didn't put you on the spot, the person that said that. But if you notice, when we're eating something, what do? We usually put it to our noses to smell it. But how many things have you smelled that smelled terrible but then tasted good? There are some things. Some people love the smell of coffee, but they don't like the taste of it. There's one that, not really. But we still like the aroma of it. But again, aroma is an important thing. And it's important to, again, the worship of God. And here we learn something, is that it's basically, if you will, the prayers of the people. Now, this opens up a door for us to understanding what prayer is. Because, see, now all these prayers is being burned before God. There was silence in heaven, if you will. And God, again, knowing what was going to happen, that He had to judge mankind. Why, you ask? Because now all these prayers arise again before His throne. And what were these prayers? May I suggest to you that it was about a little boy or a little girl crying out to God, save me from this abuser, from a mother, a woman, crying out to God, save me from my husband. A man crying out, save me from my oppressor. Nations crying out, save us. The injustice around us. The heartache around us because of cruelty, man to man. And people are always asking, why doesn't God act now? Even us as believers, we say, where was God when this happened? We think it's indifference that He doesn't answer. But again, we're going to learn something about God. There's a time for everything. And right now, this is the time for judgment. This is the cry of the people to God. This is His answer to them. So the important thing is to remember this. We learn this in Revelation chapter 5, verse 8. God collects our prayers. No prayer is wasted. He hears them. So the first thing we have to understand on the other side of prayer is that God hears our prayer. Nothing is ever wasted. He collects those prayers. It's a beautiful scent to Him. Now, If you notice again, it's incense. Incense represents prayers of the people. It's pleasant or sweet to God. It's that aroma. And you wonder, okay, then why is our prayer sweet to Him? Because again, the other side of heaven is two, is that it reveals the dependency upon God from His people. It reveals dependency. See, we cry out for answers. We cry, does anybody have an answer? Does anybody have an answer to my problems, to the situation in the world, to anything? And the answer is yes. But how many are actually praying to the one who has that answer, and that's God? In our daily lives, do we pray to God for the struggles that we have, for the things that we have need of, through our sorrows and our pain and our shame? Are we actually praying to God? That's why it's a sweet aroma to Him. It reveals to us that God is the answer to every emotional or physical or spiritual pain or suffering we have. So again, it reveals the dependency upon God. It was also offered daily, morning and evening. It was continual. The purpose was to honor God. You realize is that aroma continually flows. It permeated the whole place over sacrifices. Throughout the temple, the scent was being smelled. Again, it shows something else that on God's side of heaven about prayer, and that is it needs to be offered not only daily, but if you will, morning through night. Or, may I suggest something to you, and I've felt convicted about this too, are we starting the day off in prayer? And then do we end the day in prayer? Do we start the day by asking God, help us through the struggles and trials that we may encounter? Give us the faith to endure, to overcome? Let our eyes be upon You this day? And then in the evening, do we again go before Him and to confess our failings to Him, because we know He's gracious towards us? And then throughout the day, as this bridge comes, do we continually offer our praise and our prayer to Him? Again, it's a sweet aroma to God. He desires it. If you will, He expects it. Incense was again, sweet-smelling substance that was burned as an offering to God. The altar, the tabernacle, and the temple, you can smell it. It represented something. It represented God's presence, God's attributes, God's work. Malachi says, "For from the rising of the sun even to its going down, My name shall be great among the Gentiles. In every place incense shall be offered to My name, and a pure offering. For My name shall be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts." See, prayer acknowledges that God's presence is there. We're not praying to a ceiling. We're actually praying to a living God that cares so much for us that His presence is there when we speak to Him. There's no iron ceiling here, gang. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And it's true that if we hide iniquity in our heart, then He doesn't hear us. We must confess that sin. I didn't say perfection, gang, because if we're talking perfection, then none of us are qualified. I'm talking about an acknowledgement of sin, a repentance from that. And maybe it's, well, if you're like me, it's daily. But I understand something. He's there. And it's important for us to understand that God's presence is there when we pray to Him. But what goes along with that is who God is, His attributes. There's nothing too hard for God. Whatever it is that's on our heart, He's not there going, "Ooh, that's a tough one. I don't know. I don't know how it's going to work." Sorry, Kyle, your next job, who knows where it's coming from, but sheesh, aren't you glad God's not like that? No, he's in control. God's in control. Thank God that he is. He's also acknowledging his work. What work? Well, first on the cross. But second, guess what? Hey, gang, I got great news. He's not giving up on you. He's at work. He wants to continue that work. He will continue that work. But again, it's understanding his heart towards us is for good. So we want to come before his presence daily. We want to pray to him. We want to acknowledge his presence. We want to acknowledge there's nothing too hard for him. Though on this side, we don't understand it all. On his side, he's got it all under control. Thank God somebody does. Because again, if you look at this planet being hurled in space, we're going awful fast for not hitting anything, aren't we? And actually, we'll see some things hit us next week. But again, it's acknowledging God's presence, his ability. Now, you'll notice it says much incense. He was given much incense. Incense is offered with the prayers of the saints. The incense was made a specific way. It was not to be duplicated for private use. Wasn't. See, it's holy. And for us, too, is to understand something. See, prayer. Prayer is not for selfishness or selfish use. It must be according to God's will. God's will. But you go, oh, no, then that counts me out. No. It's acknowledging it before him. Whatever that prayer is. It's saying, Lord, your will be done. Lord, I think I need this job. But I want it according to your will, not mine. If this isn't your will, I don't want this job. I don't want this promotion. I don't want to move here. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do this. I want it according to your will, Lord. Your purposes. For your glory. For your honor. Something else we learn about incense. That it was sacred. And it was holy. And according to the law, only the priest descended from Aaron could offer incense. They interceded for the people. Who was Aaron? Aaron was the high priest. So again, it was those that were from the high priest's family. Do we have a high priest? Yeah, his name's Jesus. Here's great news, gang. I got great news for you. See, our prayers, we have somebody praying over us. So that our prayers are now being mixed with his prayers. And they become sacred. And they become holy. In Hebrews, we learn this, that he intercedes for us. In fact, he's able to save from the uttermost those who come to God through him. And since he always lives to make intercession for them, for us. See, David helped us out here. He said, if I can number the thoughts that you have towards me, those thoughts would be more than the sand of the seas. That's how many times God thinks about you and me. Constantly thinking about us. Hey, parents, do you think about your kids? Do you think about them all the time? You think about him every minute. If you're honest, the truth is, no, you don't. But the honest truth is, God does towards you. Constantly thinking about you. Constantly interceding for you. Constantly desiring that you come before him in his presence. Acknowledging him for who he is in prayer. I've learned something as a believer. I can never overemphasize prayer. I can't, because again, constantly we were encouraged to pray without ceasing. Now, verse 4. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. So we see all of this prayer now coming before the Lord. The silence was there. And now the Lord is going to stand. He's going to judge. Spoken of in actually through the Bible. Habakkuk, it says, but the Lord is his holy temple, let all the earth keep silence before him. Zephaniah says, be silent in the presence of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand. For the Lord has prepared a sacrifice. He has invited the guests. And then in Zechariah 2:13 says, be silent, all flesh, before the Lord, for he is aroused from his holy habitation. Now, I read those in order for a reason. First of all, we see that God is holy and none can come to him. Second, we see God is holy, but he's presented a sacrifice for us. And third, we see God is holy, and those that reject that sacrifice, now judgment comes. And that's what happens. Judgment comes. Look at verse 5. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, threw it to the earth, and there was noises, thunderings, lightnings, and earthquakes. So the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. Now, fire from the altar. Remember when Isaiah was up there, he says, I'm an unclean man, I dwell with unclean people. And then one of the cherubs took a coal from the altar and touched his tongue and said, now they are clean. Again, fire is a purifying agent, okay? So this fire is purifying what? The prayers of the saints. Prayer, it's also purifying the saints themselves. Remember something. In Hebrews it says that our God is a consuming fire. John the Baptist said that Jesus has come to baptize with what? Fire. What does that do? Fire cleanses the believer, purifies him. But those that do not accept Christ, it becomes the deafening agent. It's like wax. Put wax out in the sun, what happens? Melts. If you put cheese out there, I'll tell you what happens. It becomes hard. It becomes hard. The sun affects different things, different elements. And so, the holy fire, it affects people differently. For as believers, it purifies. For the non-believer, it judges. And they're thrown into the lake of fire. Are you with me? So now God's fire purifies the saints' prayer and his purposes. It brings judgment upon the sinners. The prayers of the saints and the intercessors are now consummated with fire and cast to the earth. The timing is perfect. Not a moment too soon or too late. It's perfect. Now is the time of judgment. Now is the time. We keep thinking, why doesn't God do it now? Because of this reason, don't ever forget this. Because all who will come, will come. There will not be an empty table in heaven, an empty chair. There won't be. All that will ever come to him will come to him. His timing is perfect. God's not up there with a ledger going, oh my goodness, who are we missing still? Gabriel, what do we got going here? I'm confused with this number here. It's not in his mind. On that side of heaven, everything is going right. I mean, for us on earth, that's an amazing thing because nothing ever goes perfect here. You set up your plans, you have your agenda, everything seems to be going smooth, and then something happens. I know I've been part of several weddings. They never go smooth. I always tell them, it's not going to go smooth. Just enjoy it. It's part of the enjoyment of it. Something's going to happen. And that's going to be unique. You're going to remember that. So that's the beauty of it. Even if it's the pastor that is the one that causes it. One wedding I did, I had the people stand through the whole service. I forgot that you may be seated. I got ridiculed for that for a long time. And I always made sure that after that, I said, people, you may be seated. But it's just little things like that that do happen, and it's all right. But see, at the same time, we must understand something. God's timing is always perfect. When we're praying, does it seem like He's not answering? It's the timing. For you and for all around you, God's timing is always perfect. Always. Now, and everything in this place, everything is ready. But there's two things in prayer I want to bring to your attention now, and we'll conclude. See, it's about Gabriel. Interesting angel, Gabriel. Because, you know, we'll all talk about it, but he says, "I am Gabriel." Nobody says that. Michael never says, "I am Michael." There's not another being outside of God that says, "I am." And Gabriel does. Was it to glorify Gabriel? No. He's saying, "Hello, I stand in His presence. This is what He says. This is what's going to happen." Now, there's something that happens with Daniel. Daniel's praying. And as he's praying, he's trying to understand what he just saw in a vision. And that day, really, we don't have a time frame, but in that time frame of his prayer, Gabriel comes to him and then speaks to him. "You are blessed, and the Lord wants you to know." And that's found in Daniel 9. But then something happens the following chapter. Daniel prays again. And then nothing for 21 days. And then an angel comes. And he says, "I would have been here sooner, but I was wrestling with an angel up there, a fallen one. And if it wasn't for Michael coming to my aid, I would have never got here." Why? Why would God send Gabriel one time? And, well, apparently Gabriel is a high archangel because nobody touched him. He just came through. But the second time he brings this other angel and he's blocked. Wait a minute. What did we just learn? God's timing is always perfect. Always. So there's a second reason for this, isn't it? Gang, prayer. Ready for this? Prayer engages us in the spiritual battle. You think it's always going to be easy? No. That's why prayer is so hard. That's why prayer is continually throughout Scripture spoken of to do. Pray, pray. When all else fails, pray. Pray some more. Keep praying. Pray. It's a battle. It's a war going on out there. And it's important for us to realize that. Pray. It's not that God didn't hear your prayer. He heard it instantly. But again, remember His timing is perfect and He wants us to know that we don't wrestle with flesh and blood but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness in this age. It's a war. When you don't feel like praying, He wins, and I don't mean God. He doesn't want us to pray. He wants us to think it does no good at all. There's an old saying, and it says that every demon trembles when the weakest saint gets on his knees and prays. Pray. And when you don't know what else to do, pray some more. Is it easy? No, I told you already. It's the hardest thing you're going to do. But it's the most important. Pray. Now, something else is you remember Gabriel is sent to Zacharias. Remember Zacharias, this is a funny thing. He's in the temple. And remember, only priests are supposed to do this. And he's lighting the incense, which what represents prayer. Zacharias is in there and all of a sudden, there's Gabriel. And he says, "You're blessed." Blessed? How blessed? "Well, your prayer has been answered." "What prayer?" "The prayer about your wife, Elizabeth. She's going to have a child. What? See, they were old. Quite possibly in their 70s, gang. They were old. But understand again, remember, your prayer has been answered. It's probably a prayer that he hasn't prayed for years. He probably gave up. But remember, there's no prayer that goes without God hearing it. And it was answered. God's timing. But it's interesting what Gabriel says to Zacharias. He says this to him. Because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time, you will be mute and not able to speak. It's about faith. It's about faith. Faith in what? How eloquent I can speak and pray? No. How I can quote scripture? It's important. But no. It's about the trust of what? What we just went over. What God is here listening now when you pray. Now! Not, oh, I'm so sick and tired of this guy. It's all he does. Whine, 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 whine. Nah, nah, nah. You know how your kids whine? Nah, 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 nah. But it's interesting because Jesus gives a parable about that. He says this. He says, men always ought to pray and not lose heart. And then he gives this parable. And the parable was about this lady that would come see this judge. And the judge was an unrighteous judge, Jesus says. And this lady continually came to this judge saying, for justice, justice, justice. And finally the judge turned to somebody and says, you know what? I am so sick and tired of this lady. Wah, 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 wah. Constantly coming to me. I constantly reject her. And I'm realizing something. She's not going away. So I'm just going to give her what she wants so she can leave me alone. How many times as parents do we do that? In fault. Finally just give it to them so they just shut up. And that's not really good parenting sometimes. But Jesus turns it around and then he says this. Shall not God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, don't miss this, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Pray in faith. We have a great opportunity here. As you heard, we're moving. And you know, I just want to throw out, when we move, you're just going to have to keep in tune, okay? Because again, these are our plans, but we're praying about it, what God wants us to do, okay? We do have to get out of this building. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is the timing of it all is God's time, okay? Our plans, again, are up to Him to decide. But the point is that we have an opportunity here to see God work. Pray. Don't give up. Pray. God, lead us to somewhere. Wherever it is, we don't care. Just lead us there, Lord. Pray for each other. You know what you're going through. We're a closed body. I hope you pretty much know what's going on with each other. What you need prayer for. Don't be ashamed to share what you need prayer for. We need to pray. We need to pray constantly. So why not pray for you? Pray for each other. But it's the understanding that God desires to hear and that we trust Him, that He will lead us. God desires for us to have faith in Him. Oh, it may, no matter what we're praying for, be inconvenient to us at times. But see, that's our thinking. And that's a lot of times our prayer. Lord, we'd really like this to happen because otherwise it'd be inconvenient to us. Do you think God really cares about our convenience? But what he does care about is our hearts and our faith in him, that he is able. God is able. God is able. Nothing's too hard for him. See, with God, there's nothing impossible. With man, it is impossible. There's always an opportunity. There's always a possibility. There's always hope. There's also the understanding that God really does care for you. Peter learned that. That's why he said, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. God does. He's working it all out. But again, we got to get in line with him. Seeing him for who he is. Acknowledging that we don't understand it all. But also accepting in faith that he will guide and direct and empower. So, we just learned the other side of prayer. My prayer for each of us is that we take note of this and we start praying. And remember something, you can never pray enough. So, let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this morning. We thank you that, again, not only for your grace and your mercy that is new every morning, but just the desire that you have for us to come into your presence through prayer, to honor you with the sweet aroma of your children once again, coming before you, acknowledging you, and talking to you. As someone has said before, there's other silences in heaven too. Every time that God hears a prayer, he hears us. Lord, we just thank you. Thank you for that you always take the time for each of us. Thank you for your thoughts that are so many we can never count. Thank you that you have a plan and a purpose for each of us. My prayer for each of us here this morning, Lord, that we would be men and women of prayer. So, Lord, we lift these things up to you. We thank you because Jesus is praying for us even now, knowing, Lord, that all things are heard by you, and your timing is always perfect. It's in Jesus' name we pray.